The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and I gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest." So he took the talent. So take the talent away from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Let us pray. Holy God, you have a word for us today, a word of comfort and a word of challenge, a word of hope and a word of guidance for our lives. Make our hearts soft. Plant your word in us that it may bear fruit through our lives. Amen. Are there any fans of national parks here today? Anybody out there? Yeah, a lot of us, right? I love going to national parks. I'm always in awe when I go. The span of time and how long it took to create these beautiful, majestic formations and natural wonders is just amazing, isn't it? And I'll never forget a trip I took when I was a kid with my family out to Yellowstone. And this, anybody know what this geyser is called? Any guesses? Old Faithful, right? That's not my family in the picture. This is just from the internet. Old Faithful. Today we continue our sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit, focusing on faithfulness. What does the word faithful mean? I mean, we can use it in different ways. Does it mean loyalty or fidelity, right? We use this word in terms of our relationships sometimes. Does it mean trustworthy and dependable, like Old Faithful and Yellowstone, something or someone that you can count on and depend on? Maybe we use it in terms of thinking about belief. We talk about the strength of our belief in God or in something, right? It can mean different things, and these meanings aren't necessarily the same. So for me, the question is, what does Paul mean when he uses this word faithfulness in Galatians 5? Well, when I have a question like that about the text, I do what any average person would do, and I go get my Greek dictionary off the shelf, and I open it up. The Greek word here is interesting. The word is pistis, and this is a really important word in the New Testament. It shows up all over the place, a lot, but you might not even realize it, how often it is, because it gets translated in a couple different ways. Sometimes faithfulness, which is what Paul uses in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, but also as faith. Many places when you see faith or faithfulness in the New Testament, usually it's this same Greek word, pistis. So, for example, in Matthew's gospel, in the 9th chapter alone, it shows up multiple times in these different stories. At the beginning, there's a story, and just as some people were carrying a paralyzed man lying on a bed, if you remember, that's the story, they lowered their friend through the roof to get near Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, their pistis, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, your sins are forgiven," and then he healed him. Just a little bit later, Jesus turned and seeing her, this is the woman who touched the hem of his garment in the crowd, he turned and he saw her and he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And then a few verses later, there's some blind men and he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And then it gets used in this other way in Matthew 17, "For truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." When I read stories like this in the gospel, I think, wow, that looks amazing. I want that. But if I'm being honest, sometimes I don't have that kind of faith. And Jesus attributes their healing to their faith, and I think maybe I'm in trouble. When you think of faith, do you ever feel like that? Like maybe you don't have enough? I know sometimes I've had people talk to me that feel like they're carrying this sense of guilt or shame, saying, "You know, Pastor, I don't have enough faith, or I don't have a strong enough faith." Anybody else ever felt that way? I know I have. And if we look at this fruit of faithfulness, this idea of faithfulness, just from this angle, the strength of our own beliefs, then we're going to miss out on a whole other aspect of what I think Paul means by this word and the depth of what this word can mean for us all throughout the New Testament. Here's what I mean. There are so many other places in the Bible that use the word this way. God is faithful. You ever heard that one? See, when we read pistis in the Bible, when it's in reference to people, it's often translated as faith. But when it's in reference to God and God's attribute, it usually gets translated as faithfulness. Faithful. It's the same word in Greek. And just in the beginning of many of Paul's letters, you see it in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, he says God is faithful. In Thessalonians 5, at the end of his letter, he says the one who calls you is faithful. Over and over again, Paul talks about God's faithfulness. And if that's the case, then I don't think we can simply define faithfulness as we read it as a fruit of the Spirit, as belief in God, because if that's the only way we're defining it, it doesn't make a lot of sense when you think about God's faithfulness. What does that mean? God believes really strongly that God exists? I mean, right? It doesn't translate well that way. So what does this idea mean? You know, and a few weeks ago, I talked about how these fruits of the Spirit are actually the very character of God. It's about the Holy Spirit working in us to produce these same characteristics of God in us. And if that's the case, how does that expand the meaning of the word faithfulness when it's not just about our faithfulness, but also about God's faithfulness? And this is a concept I used to struggle with a lot. For a long time. I really remember first hearing it and wondering about it when I was in college, back in my days at Wartburg College. "You rah, rah, rah," right? You all probably have your own chant from wherever you went to school. But my only experience up to that point with worship was a very traditional Catholic mass, hymns sort of a thing. College campus was the first experience I had with a more modern, contemporary style of worship music and worship songs. And to be honest, at first, I was not a fan. I was that kid who was kind of annoying and saying, "If you're going to sing in church, it's got to be the old hymns." And some of you in this service might still feel that way, and that's fine. That's fine. Love the old hymns. But it's funny now because I love contemporary music too. And so the problem I had at first, though, was part of it was the language that was in a couple of these popular songs. At the time, they kept talking about God is faithful. God, you are so faithful. And I was only defining faith as our belief. So I was like, what does that even mean? But over time, my perspective on that language has really changed, and it's come to make a lot more sense to me. In fact, a couple of my favorite modern worship songs that we're singing today at 11 are about God's faithfulness. One of my favorite hymns in our hymnal is that old hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." I love that one. So what changed for me? I think it was a deeper understanding, really, of Luther's theology about faith and what that means. You know, as Lutherans, we often look at Ephesians 2:8 as sort of a bedrock verse for our theology. It says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Here it is. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. Right? And so that verse, alongside what Luther teaches in this very short yet powerful and profound statement on the Holy Spirit part of the creed, Luther writes this from the Small Catechism: "I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me, sanctified me, and kept me in the true faith." What if faithfulness isn't just about the strength of our beliefs, but instead is also about a God whose relentless love never stops chasing after us? What if it's about a God that will never, ever leave our side, that will never, ever leave us alone? What if faithfulness is about how God has been working in your life for good far before you even knew it, maybe even before you were born? You know, one of the spiritual practices I learned about and I did on my sabbatical a couple years ago was this idea of looking back on your own spiritual history. And so I wanted to try this, and so I took a whole day of solitude and prayer, hiking and being outside and trying to do this, to look back over my spiritual history. And that meant reflecting deeply not only on my own personal experiences, but also looking further back than that and on those people whose faith had an impact on my life and bringing me to who I am today. Have you ever thought about your spiritual history in that way? I mean, think about your own story. And when I took time to do this, it was amazing to see the way this thread was weaving through not just my life, but the lives of others who came before me, and seeing God's faithfulness through that. I realized that God had been working in people's lives far before I was even born that ended up touching my life later. I thought about my grandmother and how she went to church almost every Sunday, and often by herself, because my grandfather didn't want anything to do with faith for the longest time. And how her faithfulness and God's faithfulness to her impacted my mom's life and then impacted my life. You can see how that thread starts to weave together. I thought about some of the experiences my dad has shared with me about some really powerful spiritual moments he had in his teenage years that God moved in his life. And without that experience that he had before I was even born, would we have been as connected to the church as we were in my life? You can see how this shows God's faithfulness goes far beyond our own lives and into the past. And maybe this is part of what Paul's talking about. What about your story? I think this is important because in our hyper-individualized culture today, there's this tendency to make faith or faithfulness just about ourselves. But the truth is, faithfulness is also about God's work in our lives over the long haul. And so I encourage you this week to take some time to really look back over the course of your life and your own spiritual story and notice the ways that God has been at work faithfully far beyond the span of your life, to bring you to this place, to this moment. When I look back on my life in this way, I realize that any faith I might try to claim as my own is only possible because of God's faithfulness and relentless faithfulness toward me. And when it comes to God's faithfulness, there is nothing you could ever do, there is nowhere you could ever run, no mistake you could ever make where God's love would stop running after you. In the words of one of those new favorite songs that we're going to sing at 11 o'clock today, I love these words. It goes like this: "Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good." But I know it can also be hard sometimes to think about God's goodness and faithfulness when we're struggling, right? And when we look at these stories in the Gospels where the word faith comes up, it's often Jesus showing up in a moment and healing and doing a miracle, and sometimes it feels like we just don't see that in our world or in our lives. And I know a lot of us are carrying burdens right now, some of us carrying personal burdens, struggle with things going on in our life or our family. But I think all of us are carrying collective burdens as we see what's going on in the world, and we see wars happening. We see natural disasters happening in our world. We see all of this anger and violence around us, and we start to wonder, God, where are you in all of this? Where is this goodness and faithfulness we're talking about? And we long to see Jesus show up right here, right now, and do a miracle and make it all better. But here's the thing, friends. God is not a God of the quick fix. God plays the long game. God is in it for the long haul. And you know, for every short miracle story we see in the gospel, it just looks so instant, so short, right? But every one of them came with a lifetime of struggle that preceded it. I mean, think about that. And that wasn't a lifetime of God being absent. That was a lifetime of God's long arc of being present and working and building faithfully until that moment when the dam finally breaks and something finally changes. But God isn't the God of the quick fix. God plays the long game. That's what God's faithfulness is about. And I don't know about you, but I would much rather have a God who is beside me yesterday, today, tomorrow, and into eternity every moment than a God who just comes, swoops in, makes everything better for a second, and then goes away. That's what God's faithfulness is all about. The God who is right beside you today and every day. It's about being deeply and intimately rooted and connected to the love of God, to God's presence every moment of every day. And I love this reading, this prayer that Paul gives us from Ephesians today. I think that sums it up so well. So I'm going to share this again as my closing prayer this morning. From Ephesians, Paul says, I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. As you are being rooted and grounded in love, I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen.